As we learned at the beginning of today's program, the Cold War stumbled slightly in the years immediately following the death of Stalin. There was even a cultural thaw which was characterized by the important 1955 tour of American musical capitals by the Russian pianist Emil Gilels, and the tour of the Soviet Union by an American production of Porgy and Bess. Russian-born violinist Isaac Stern returned from his self-exile in the United States to give concerts in Russia, and the American State Department continued to send a variety of U.S. musical acts to the Soviet Union. In the late 50s, one of those acts was the duo of pianist Dwight Mitchell and bassist and French hornist Willie Ruff. The musicians relished the opportunity to clear the air of propaganda and speak the universal language of music. Here is the Mitchell-Ruff duo doing exactly that in Moscow in 1959. They play Moscow Nights by Matuszkowski.
We'd like now to do our version of the number one tune on the hit parade in the Soviet Union. The name of this tune is Pomoskovye Vechera, or Nights in Moscow, Moscow Nights.
You have heard the popular song Moscow Nights played for an appreciative Russian audience by the Mitchell-Ruff duo in 1959. Willie Ruff writes in his memoirs of the time the duo spent in Moscow of the contrast between his artistic freedom on stage and the ever-present KGB agent tailing him throughout his time in Russia. He tells of a late-night visit to a Russian musician's home on the outskirts of Moscow. It was a rainy night, and as Ruff left to return to his hotel, he hailed the last cab on the street. As he looked back, he saw the dogged but rain-soaked KGB agent emerging from the shadows. Ruff stopped the cab and offered a ride to the agent, who gladly accepted. A year earlier, the KGB agents were busy keeping up with the 50 pianists who had been selected to compete in the Tchaikovsky International Piano Competition. One of those pianists was the lanky 24-year-old Van Cliburn. Throughout the early rounds of the competition, Cliburn made a steady, positive impression on the committee of jurists. The panel, headed by Dmitri Shostakovich, also included Dmitri Kabalevsky, the British composer, Sir Arthur Bliss, the Russian pianists, Emil Gilels and Sviatoslav Richter, and others. As the competition advanced into the final rounds, it became clear that Van Cliburn was a superior pianist, and both Gilels and Richter became supporters of the young American. However, Cliburn's success and his growing popularity with the audience present for the finals posed a severe problem for the competition judges. Could an American be allowed to win the gold medal, as Nikita Khrushchev and the rest of the world looked on? Certain of the judges began to give artificially low scores to Cliburn in an attempt to ensure victory for the Russian pianist Lev Vlasenko. As Sviatoslav Richter began to realize what was going on, he attempted to offset the overall scoring by giving Cliburn perfect 25s and zeros to some of the other competitors. The situation reached a crisis point when Cliburn turned in a stunning performance of the Rachmaninoff Third Piano Concerto. The audience went wild in its response and called repeatedly for the pianist to return to the stage for a second bow. This, however, was forbidden by the rules of the competition. Nevertheless, the ovation went on for over 8 minutes, at which time Gilels took Cliburn by the hand, led him on stage, and embraced him publicly. The entire audience was on its feet, including those in the private box of Nikita Khrushchev. The committee was at an impasse when Emil Gilels finally went to Khrushchev and explained the dilemma. In a rare moment for the often hard-edged Khrushchev, the Russian leader asked Gilels who, in fact, was the best in the competition. "Van Cliburn," replied Gilels. Then give him first prize, replied Khrushchev.